Hi, everybody. It's Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about health and wellness. From skincare and serums to meditation and brain health, we've got you covered. And most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. That's KATIECOURIC.com/bodyandsoul. I promise you'll be happier and healthier if you do.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bozzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like David Duchovny, Jeff Goldblum, and Kristen Wiig.
We're doing all the dessert.
We'll just skip right to it.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bozzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for 30 minutes, I dive into three stories in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about, or I do a stat deep dive. Sometimes I create my own stats. It gets weird. It's now your go-to podcast for staying up to date and in the weeds with Major League Baseball. No topic is off limits or too small. Bad umpires, great pitcher-catcher duos, new rules, old rules, three things that I want to talk about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
FBI news. Book launches. Keira Davis, Andy Ngo, Greg Price has a jaw-dropping story. We are going to have fun tonight on I'm Right. There is huge news today. Gigantic news. Probably, I don't want to overstate this, the biggest news you've ever had in your life, and most important, the news is the Anti-Communist Manifesto comes out tomorrow. Now is the time to pick up your copy. You want the history of all of it? What we're dealing with now in America with all the LGBTQ demon mob crap and Antifa? You want to know how to fight back? There it is. Anti-Communist Manifesto. We even did a little promo with the guy who has a scary voice.
Are you tired of watching your beloved nation fall prey to the insidious grip of communism? The Anti-Communist Manifesto by Jesse Kelly is the ultimate guide to fighting back against this destructive force. Discover the shocking truth about communism infiltrating our education system, corporations, and even environmental movements. Unmask the true agenda behind groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter and learn how to protect the United States from the most malicious enemy. With extensive documentation of past atrocities, you'll see the undeniable danger posed by this ideology. Arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight to preserve the American way of life. Pre-order your copy of the Anti-Communist Manifesto today at jessekellybook.com.
Didn't I tell you he had a scary voice? I bet you're buying it now. Now let's move on to some real news. No, that's real. It is out tomorrow, and thank you to all of you. I understand the sales are great. Thank you. But there is actual real news now. The FBI. Now, just to recap where we are with this FBI document, you've seen a lot of Comer on stage or on TV. You've seen a lot of Comey. You've seen a lot of Christopher Wray. You've seen a lot of Jim Jordan. There's so many subpoenas and things going on. It's hard to keep track of what's going on. So let's just make sure we're clear on this story. An FBI whistleblower came forward. And what this whistleblower said was the FBI is in possession of a form. What is on this form? Well, an informant brought information to the FBI that laid out, allegedly, in detail, the crimes of the Joe Biden crime family. Now, Joe Biden has a crime family. He does. That's why they have all these different LLCs set up that receive large amounts of money from foreign corporations. That's a crime family. You don't do that if it's legal and legitimate. The Biden family is a crime family who's used Joe Biden's position to enrich Joe Biden and the whole family. That's what they've done. That's a crime. They are a crime family. Allegedly, this form lays it out in detail. It's not, Joe Biden's a criminal. Apparently, it's detailed. The payments to everything is detailed. GOP finds out about this because of an FBI whistleblower. GOP comes forward and tells the FBI, I'm going to need that form. Now, remember, allegedly, the FBI is underneath Congress, right? But the FBI says, nah, can't have the form. GOP says, okay, well, here's a subpoena. Now you're giving me the form. Now, this is the part that's a little bit disheartening. The FBI says, oh, wow, that's a nice subpoena you got there. Anyway, still can't have the form. What does that tell you about who's underneath who? So, of course, the FBI, the system, I shouldn't just boil this down to the FBI, the system itself has come out. This is what the system does, our corrupt system of government. They've locked shields in defense of the FBI. You got James Comey all over TV lying like this.
Well, it will change. The FBI will be fine in the long run. This fever around Donald Trump and the MAGA world will eventually break, but it's become somehow a nutty article of faith that the FBI is out to get Republicans. If you'd asked people 20 years ago whether that would someday be the accusation, they'd say that's nuts. It's nuts, but it will pass.
You were a Republican most of your life, but voted for, and you may still consider yourself one, but voted for Biden in 2020. Do you intend to vote for him again, or is there anyone on the Republican side you might consider if it's not Trump?
It has to be Joe Biden.
You've said that Trump poses a near existential threat to the rule of law, but tell me a little bit about the specifics of what he could try to do. What do you mean by that?
Well, think about what 4 years of a retribution presidency might look like. He could order the investigation and prosecution of individuals who he sees as enemies.
Wow. He could order the investigation and prosecution of his political enemies? Can you imagine what it would be like in America if the President of the United States directed the legal system to prosecute and investigate his political enemies? Imagine how shocked the January 6th prisoners will be to find out that that's something that might happen in the future. Anyway, quick, let's finish up this story on the FBI form really quickly. Today, FBI Director Wray had said, okay, I'm going to let you look at the form. I'm going to let James Comer look at the form. You can look at the form. And then he didn't look at the form. Apparently, they're going to move forward now with contempt, and who knows where it goes from here. But the FBI, what you really need to know is, as of today, it's official. The FBI once again gave the double middle finger to the GOP. No fear whatsoever. But I actually want to circle back on this really quickly. In the future, Donald Trump might use his power as the president to prosecute his political enemies. That's what James Comey just said on television. Which is funny because James Comey also said this on television.
I mean, it's this crazy world that Donald Trump has drag this country into, but he could be wearing an ankle bracelet while accepting the nomination at the Republican convention.
And could be wearing an ankle bracelet and be elected in November.
Yeah, we could have, it would be rejected if you put it in a script for a show, but you could have a president who is potentially incarcerated when he's elected president.
What do you think that was? That was a threat. And that was, it's really clear you understand this. That wasn't fodder for cable news. It wasn't James Comey just trying to hype things up. That was a threat. It was a warning. And it was them telling you what's coming. I know this hurts to hear. It hurts to say. I don't celebrate it. It's a despicable state of affairs for our country. But you need to start prepping yourself for what's coming legally for Donald Trump. Remember what Julie Kelly came on here and said several times? They wouldn't actually put Donald Trump in prison, right? A former president? You don't think they'll go that far, right?
I absolutely do.
What we have now in this country is an evil system. It's way more than just the media. We make a mistake when we just criticize the media. Yes, the media is a despicable enemy of the people. There's no question about that. But it's way deeper than that. Media, working with the DOJ, working with the politicians, working with the entertainment industry, working with the medical industry, all these the education system, all these industries working together. And right now, always remember this. Always remember, there is a goal right now. They are marching towards it. They're marching towards it quickly, and it's going to affect you and everyone you love. The goal is to turn opposition to Democrats into being an enemy of the state. The goal is to make you and your beliefs and your desires an enemy of the state. Why is that their goal? Because once they achieve that, then they can justify sending state power to your door. If you don't believe me, go ask some of the pro-life activists who've had FBI SWAT teams show up for reading Bible verses in their home. That is the end goal. So whether you're a Trump lover or a Trump hater, better remember this. What they've already done to the January 6th prisoners and what they're about to do to Trump is not the end. It is not the final goal. It is but a taste of what is to come for this country. It's part of the reason I wrote the daggone book, to let us know a way to fight back. Anyway. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a great show for you tonight. We do. We got Greg Price next about an amazing story out of the Dakotas you're not paying any attention to. I wasn't. Don't feel bad. Got Keira Davis, Andy No. We'll talk about Antifa. We got all kinds of stuff still to come on the show. Before we get to those things, let's talk about the timeshare you think you're stuck in. I say you think you're stuck because I know you think you're stuck. Everyone does. People get these timeshares. And the timeshare hopefully is enjoyable to you. But then when you want out, because eventually you get tired of it, you stop using it, kids grow up, whatever the case may be, you think, you always thought you could get out. And then you go try to get out and the timeshare company says, sorry, you didn't read the fine print. Now you're not allowed out. Lone Star Transfer will get you out. They've been doing it for a very long time. They've helped over 18,000 people legally and permanently get out. You're not stuck. You think you are. They're successful 99% of the time. Family company. They will take care of you. Make one phone call. 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. We'll be back. There is a story out there, and it's gigantic. It might be the biggest story out there right now, and nobody's talking about it. And joining me now is my buddy Greg Price. We're going to talk about it. He's the communications director for the State Freedom Caucus Network. Greg, now I woke up today under the impression that the biggest story in America was that my book is coming out tomorrow, but now I find out there's something bigger than that. How can that be?
Yeah, Jesse, private property rights are under attack in South Dakota, and it's probably the worst attack on private property rights we've seen in a very long time. What's happening is a company called Summit Carbon Solutions is trying to build a 2,000-mile carbon capture pipeline that will travel from ethanol plants in Iowa, carry liquid carbon underground, and sequester it under the ground in North Dakota. And the reason they want to build this is because it will lower the carbon footprints of these ethanol plants in Iowa. And so this is happening. And in order to build this, Summit Carbon Solutions has filed over 80 eminent domain lawsuits against landowners in South Dakota. You know, small town farmers, people whose land has been in their generation, in their families for generations, are now facing the loss of it in order to build this pipeline. And, you know, I wrote a story on my Substack about it, and I highlighted the story of Jared Bosley. And, you know, the video on the screen are surveyors from Summit Carbon Solutions that entered his property, his house and his workshop and his farm without their permission. And this is happening to landowners everywhere. These people are just coming onto their property and they don't even have a permit to build the pipeline yet. And, you know, you recall a couple years ago probably the story of the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Standing Rock Sioux protest against it. That pipeline didn't even travel on tribal lands. They weren't using eminent domain to build it. And it actually carried oil and gas, which provides economic value to a state, as opposed to just a way for ethanol plants to improve their ESG scores. That's happening, and it's happening all over South Dakota. Not only is nobody doing anything about it, but the elected Republicans in South Dakota are doing nothing about it. And the reason is because this company has major ties to lots of well-connected people in the GOP. Former Iowa Governor Terry Barnes Branstad, who is the longest serving governor in American history, is their senior advisor. The guy who runs their communications is the former chairman of the South Dakota Republican Party. And they were a platinum sponsor of Governor Kristi Noem's inauguration back in January. And back in the legislative session, there were multiple bills to protect the rights of landowners, and they all failed. And these people have essentially just been abandoned by their leaders for this carbon capture ethanol scam. And no national media is talking about it until I started doing it.
Okay, this is unbelievable. So tell me where we're at in the process, Greg. You said all these lawsuits have been filed to try to take this land from these farmers, but are they succeeding? I know the surveyors are already going on their land, but are people already losing their private property?
No, all of the lawsuits were filed like recently, like at the end of April, beginning of May. So they're still being adjudicated. But in my story, though, I highlighted how Jared Bosley, he had these surveyors come onto his farm, and he wasn't even home. He was out planting alfalfas, and his wife was. And he had a 6-second conversation with these guys on a speakerphone that his wife was holding and told them they shouldn't be there without their sheriff. And these guys took him to court and accused him of threatening to shoot them, which was a complete and total lie. And they tried to get a contempt of court charge. And that would have prevented him from being back on his property when they come back. And thankfully, Jared Bosley won that case. But all of these courts in South Dakota are ruling in favor of Summit Carbon Solutions. They're saying these surveyors, even though, again, they don't have the permit to build the pipeline yet, all of these surveyors have to be allowed to go onto the property and do their work. And it's shameful. It's terrible what's happening to these people. Because again, like, it has no economic value. This is land that has been in their families for a very, very long time. And basically, you have people just showing up. And here's the other thing. Some of them are showing up with armed security guards. I talked to two other landowners in South Dakota who said that this happened to them, that these people literally showed up with guys with pistols strapped to their waists, like something right out of Yellowstone or Blazing Saddles. It's crazy what's happening to these people.
Okay, and these things are being handled in state courts in South Dakota. Sounds like, I mean, I would have had more faith in South Dakota. Sounds like the state of South Dakota sold these guys out.
Yeah, so the big problem, the reason they're really allowed to do this is because South Dakota doesn't really have, protections for landowners on the books. And, you know, they tried to change. And so right now, their Public Utilities Commission essentially regulates all of this, and they designate pipelines as common carriers. And so that's why they're able to take advantage of the lax eminent domain laws in South Dakota in order to sue these people. Now, in the last legislative session, the legislature, led by the South Dakota Freedom Caucus, tried to pass a law that would have revoked their status as a common carrier. And so they were not, that would have basically not allowed them to use eminent domain against these people, but they got crushed. It got shut down, and all of the Republicans voted for what the Summit Carbon lobbyists wanted. And obviously Kristi Noem hasn't said anything, hasn't done anything. And, you know, it's also happening in North Dakota, which is why it's kind of crazy. You have Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, nobody's ever heard of until 5 seconds ago, running for president instead of doing something to protect these landowners. And, you know, the reason they're not saying anything about it is because, as I said, well-influential people in the GOP work for this company and are connected to it. Terry Barnstead, the former governor, is a kingpin in Iowa. If you want political success in Iowa, you need his support. And that explains why people who fancy themselves current or future presidential candidates aren't doing anything about it.
Golly. Greg, keep up the great work, my man. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Always great to be with you.
I don't know if the GOP, I don't know what's worse, their cowardice or their corruption. You heard what he said. They bought him off. all that sweet lobbying money, paying off Kristi Noem, our platinum sponsors, everything else. This is why people get so frustrated, and this is why people on the right end up sitting out elections. They get disheartened because they get sold down the river by their politicians time and time again. Freaking disgraceful, man. Anyway, we'll talk to Keira Davis next. Before we talk to Keira, maybe it is just a low T problem in the GOP. Maybe that's the issue. But in their defense, can't believe I'm saying that, the country has a low T problem. Many, many, many reasons for this. We sit around too much. Our diets have gotten worse. There are estrogens in the waters, in the plastics. There are many reasons, but there is a testosterone crisis in America. Half. They're half of what they were 50 years ago. Chalk is trying to change that naturally. Natural herbal supplements. They have a male vitality stack. There's a female vitality stack for the ladies. But whatever you're wanting for your life, natural herbal supplements, tons of them at Chalk. CHOQ.com. Don't be a low-teen weenie. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off subscriptions. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
For too long, we've been led to believe that communism is a thing of the past. But the truth is, communism is alive. It's here, and it's infiltrating every aspect of American life. Introducing the Anti-Communist Manifesto by Jesse Kelly, the practical guide for patriots ready to defend our nation from its most dangerous enemy. Discover the shocking extent of communist infiltration in our education system, their alliance with American corporations, and the twisted truth behind environmentalism. This eye-opening book exposes the true face of communism and empowers you to fight back. Join the fight for freedom. Pre-order your copy of the Anti-Communist Manifesto today by going to jessekellybook.com.
That was wonderful. I bet Keira loved that. Joining me now, my friend Keira Davis. You can go read her Substack at justkeiradavis.substack.com. She's also a fellow author. She has a book called Drawing Lines out, which actually is outstanding. But Keira, on a scale of 1 to 1,000, how excited are you about my book coming out tomorrow?
I'm excited on the inside. I know it doesn't look like it. I'm excited on the inside, Jesse. On the inside, I think it couldn't have happened to a better person. On the outside, I know you're sufferable for the next few months.
I will. Look, hey, but look, I feel like we're kindred spirits now, Keira. You have a book and I have a book. No, in all seriousness, I do really like drawing lines because it gives people some kind of a blueprint for what they should do. Will you talk about that? Because people want to know what to do. They don't want to just know that everything sucks. They're aware everything sucks. What do they do about that? Talk about it.
Yeah, and I wrote it because I think we all felt a little, some of us a lot, helpless after 2020, and particularly coming through the pandemic. And I know there are a lot of people like me who are like, I never want to go through this again. You don't want to run for office. You don't want to do the myriad of big things. You're not a millionaire, so you can't donate to all of these causes. But I talk about how important it is to be involved in the cultural space wherever you are, because you are the culture. Society is just a mix of individuals. And so you may not think that your role is important, but it really is important. You are the culture right where you are. So I talk about how conservatives have really left the culture behind because we found it so distasteful. And instead of sort of retreating into our own quiet spaces, what happened was we left a vacuum, and space abhors a vacuum. And so the progressive mindset filled that vacuum. And now that's what we're battling against. But I don't think it's too late to get in on this battle. And so I wrote this book I love how you put it, Jesse, to give people a blueprint for what you can do right where you are, right where you are today, right now. I'm not asking you to go run for the governor of your state or go run for president. I'm just saying from your living room, from your school board meeting, from your workplace discussion, there's a lot of things you can do where you sit to help advance sanity in this culture.
Yeah. You don't have to be a world famous author like me in order to do something. But in all seriousness, people do feel, they feel separated from the solutions. You know, I just want to support this guy for president, or I want to write my congressman or something like that. When we have to realize our community is what matters, Kira. People will fight all day long, Trump, DeSantis, all this other crap, but their own town sucks. Their school board sucks, their city council sucks, their board of supervisors suck. They got commies waving penises in their kids' faces in the public library, and they got a Trump bumper sticker on. It's not how we should win. It's not how they won.
That is an excellent point. It's not how they won. And as a matter of fact, one of the big things I talk in my book about is education and how wrestling back the education system is going to be really important. And I'm sure you talk about it too in your book, Communist Manifesto. The idea that the progressives have been playing the long game, and we really haven't. And one of the things we need to do is really take seriously this education battle, because culture is formed, right? Culture is informed. And so we have to realize we're not just educating to the next semester or the next year. We're educating to the next generation, and that's the next generation of voters. So progressives have had a stranglehold on education in this country for 50, 60, 70 years now. And so it should be no surprise that we're churning out voters who can't tell you what a woman is, or who think it's okay for grown men dressed as women to read to small children in the classroom. You know, these people are voting for that because they've been educated that way from the start. And so how can the GOP or any sane candidate expect people to come out of the public education system educated on the mechanics of our republic and educated well enough to vote in the best interests of our republic? So not only do we have a cultural battle right where you are in your space, your library, your school, we also have a battle to wrestle back education so that we are playing that long game. And it might not turn elections over in 2-3 years, but we're playing like the progressive play. We're looking down the road 20-30 years to ideological supremacy.
That's a fact. I love this quote. It's one of my favorites. Education of the nation's youth is the linchpin of the communist efforts. The communists knew he had to adopt the mindset of Joe Biden looking for someone to cuddle with. Get them young. If he could do so, he could infect impressionable minds and send them off into the system to do his bidding. Isn't that a great quote, Kira? I don't know who wrote that. Oh, wait, that was me. But that's a really great quote.
That's fantastic. That's amazing, Jesse. I love that.
All right, now, speaking of school boards, this is something that you put your money where your morals are, money where your mouth is, and you ran for a school board. And you brought up the hate people get. And I've tried to prepare people as they get ready to run for local office. People email me all the time, Jesse, I'm running for town council, running for school board. I've tried to prepare people that it gets nasty. The local races are the nastiest races because it's your community. You're running into these people in the grocery store. You're seeing them in church on Sunday. It's going to get personal, and you got to be prepped for it. Talk about it.
Yeah, I wasn't prepped for it. It was, I mean, I guess to a certain extent, I thought, well, I'm a somewhat public figure. You know, I'm on TV, I'm on radio. I meet strangers all the time. I talk in front of strangers all the time. And I get a lot of pushback online, as you well know, Jesse. But it's different when it's your community. I live with these people. I go to work with these people. And I was battling the unions, you know, and they are brutal. And I was running with a child still in public school. And so I had to really pay attention to what was happening to her at school and if any of the staff or teachers were taking retribution. And the unions had a tail on me. They had somebody who would just follow me around town. And even to this day, I still look over my shoulder. And it's no wonder that so many people don't run. It is a bit scary. You have to know, you have to feel a conviction to run. Also, what I learned, though, is the reason good people don't run is that good people don't stand by them when they run. I think that's a big thing, too. we're so fickle. I mean, even look what's happening with the primary race now, and Trump, DeSantis, and the way ugly people are getting so ugly online. We're so fickle as voters, even as conservative voters. We like to think we're a bit superior, you know, with our logic. But it's the same way. Something comes along. It's one little social hit. It's one little, well, I don't like this thing about this person. And then we totally abandon the idea of that candidacy. We fall prey to the tactics of the other side as well. And I noticed that even, you know, I can remember one of my fundraising events. One of my supporters organized a snow cone truck out in the parking lot in front of a park, a local park, a snow cone truck, come by, meet the candidate. Well, the teachers unions heard of it, so they quickly organized, well, the PTA did, because your PTA is liberal, everybody. You want to know what you could do right where you are? Join your PTA and stay in the PTA. PTA is owned by liberals, and they bring you a lot of this crazy stuff to your school. Anyway, the PTA quickly organized a rival snow cone fundraiser for the local school right next to mine, and then took pictures and said, look at Keira Davis, she's literally taking money out of the mouths of children, you know. And that knocked some of my supporters off their game, just that one little thing, you know. Oh, that doesn't look good, Keira. Well, I didn't do anything. I literally did nothing but show up. But we are so easily swayed by the propaganda of the other side. And this is why I like what you do, Jesse, because you educate. And I try to do that on my show as well. Educate people to hold the line, not on people, but on values. Hold the line, not on your favorite candidate, but on the values that they will vote for and support. Hold the line on your morals right where you stand. Don't think about party or candidate, but think about the person who is going to best represent your interests.
Amen. Keira Davis, you are the best. Good luck.
And congratulations on your book, Jesse. It really is an amazing feat to finish a book. I know how much effort that takes. And I know you're not the type of guy to like to sit still in one place for too long. So congratulations.
Thank you, Keira. That's true. It's true. I'm not a big writer. All right. Speaking of knowing, we have Andy Ngo on. See what I did? Did you see how I made the two words? Anyway, Andy Ngo is going to join us next. Before we get to Andy, no. Here's what you need. All right, there are wants and there are needs, right? So your wants are like new car and better job and things like that. Your needs are food, water, shelter, and three Eden Pure thunderstorms. I think I've read that somewhere. Anyway, Eden Pure thunderstorm, it's the thing that you plug into your wall, just this little black box, and it'll run. You'll barely hear it, but it's cleaning your air constantly. It cleans it to the point it'll take the smells out of your air, not cover them up. I'm talking cooking smells, pet smells. It'll take away the smell of your Christmas tree. It's just what it does. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, and I don't know why I brought up Christmas in June, but EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, gets you $200 off a three-pack of these things. Put one where you sleep, one where the kids sleep, one in the general living area. Watch your family be healthier. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not malicious. That's what FBI director said.
An idea. Antifa's just an idea. That is interesting. I can't wait to hear what Andy has to say about that. Joining me now, my friend Andy Ngo, senior editor at the Post Millennial. He also wrote the book called Unmasked, with a little inside baseball on Antifa. Andy, did you write an entire book about an idea?
Yes, it is an idea, but it's also a movement of networks that involves violent militants who carry out organized criminality on the streets of America and other countries as well.
Okay, I actually want to pause there. I want to focus on the back part of there, other countries. Americans in general, well, look, everyone in general focuses on their own home first. We don't realize this is an international thing, but it is, isn't it?
Yeah, the original German Antifa were paramilitary of the German Communist Party during the Weimar Republic, and the current Antifa, wherever they may be, in Western countries quite often, model themselves off of that sort of street thuggery, street violence type of a group. In fact, right now, in speaking of other countries, in Germany, just this last week, there were three high-profile Antifa members who were convicted for carrying out a series of attacks on people using hammers, crowbars, baseball bats. And in reaction to the convictions, Antifa in Leipzig in eastern Germany have, on Friday and Saturday night, rioted and set things on fire, which is very similar to what Americans experienced in 2020 from coast to coast. You had groups of people dressed head to toe in black, pre-announcing the violence on Twitter at that time and making good on those promises of violence. And not only did they just destroy property and set buildings on fire that were occupied by people, but they also eventually ended up killing as well. Like in my home city of Portland, Oregon, one self-described Antifa member who left behind a manifesto carried out a shooting of a Trump supporter and then went on a run and was hunted down by federal task force and died in a shootout in Washington State.
I remember that like it was yesterday. By the way, if you want to know a little more about that Antifa history, I write about it too. The Germany, the Weimar, direct links there. By the way, these people, I realize that they're separate cells, like many terrorist organizations, but can you describe who are they? What's the mentality of these people? Are they homeless people? Are they rich kids? Are they white, black, Indians? Are they Christians? Are they atheists? Who are these people? Who does this?
The ideology of Antifa is atheistic, unsurprisingly. I mean, their MO is to carry out acts of violence against their political opponents, and they do that through brainwashing their ideologues to view the other side as less than human, whose lives are worthless and therefore can be beaten on the head with a bike lock or a crowbar or shot to death, and they celebrate those types of actions. The ideology is anarchist communism. And these are violent revolutionary leftists, is how I would summarize it. This isn't necessarily a news story. America in the 60s and 70s had already dealt with communist revolutionaries who did things like kill people, kill law enforcement, engaged in all sorts of organized criminality. I'm talking about like the Weather Underground and other communist terrorists. But I mean, what happens often is, not often, actually every time, is that with these far left extremists, they are welcomed back into a mainstream polite society. So in the case of the Weather Underground members, after they were targeted by the FBI, convicted, sent to prison, some of them escaped abroad. I'm thinking of like Assata Shakur, who was a member of the Black Liberation Army who fled to Cuba and still wanted today and is a hero to Black Lives Matter. These people are seen as heroes. They went back into academe to brainwash more generations of leftists that we see today. And, you know, going back to what Biden said about Antifa is an idea, the FBI said Antifa is an idea, that's part of the picture, but ideas can be really, really dangerous. I mean, worldwide global jihadism is, you could argue an idea, but they killed hundreds of thousands of people over many decades now in the West, in the Middle East, in Africa, all over the world. So don't underestimate the extremism of a movement just because it is organized around an idea. I mean, terrorists organize around ideas.
Andy, how do they get their money? I remember like it was yesterday's story. They were actually stopped by the grace of God. I think it was in Idaho during the 2020 riots of Antifa, got stopped on their way in to terrorize some Idaho town. But they were stopped with a line of Mercedes vans that had bricks in them and all the works. Well, a Mercedes van, whether you're renting it or buying it, is not cheap. These people are funded
from somewhere by someone. Do we have any idea from where?
Yes, it's basically done. The funding is actually not really done in secret. It's done out in the open. So they have ad hoc groups that are established, and they use things like GoFundMe or Cash App or Venmo to fundraise part of it. But a lot of them actually rely on registered nonprofits. So in Atlanta right now, prosecutors in Georgia just last week on the 31st of May carried out a raid and made three arrests of three members of the Atlanta Solidarity Fund. And those three suspects have been charged with money laundering and charity fraud. I looked at the affidavit. Prosecutors alleged that they did money laundering in the tens of thousands of dollars. Now, this organization is Antifa linked. You can see it all over in their ideology. And they're accused of illegally fundraising support, financial support for the domestic terrorism suspects that were arrested in Atlanta last year and earlier this year. So a lot of this money is funneled through and fundraised through tax-free non-profit groups done right under our noses, often with the blessing of politicians. Politicians, either knowingly or not, will sometimes even promote the links to these extremist groups.
Andy, okay, so who's giving to the nonprofits? Is this surely Soros's fingers are in this thing somewhere?
So you have a lot of small donations coming from many people. And I mean, by small, I mean, they're not insignificant. You're looking at hundreds and thousands of dollars being donated on an individual level, which adds up. And some of these nonprofit groups, leftist organizations that have received funding from, let's say, George Soros, or rather his organizations that he funds, how it funnels down to the activists is more so in the form of, well, what's really clear is in supporting the campaigns of really radical leftist district attorneys, who then are part of this apparatus that create jurisdictions that in a way become a bit lawless when it comes to left-wing violence, because the prosecutors are ideologues to so-called progressive causes and will choose to not pursue left-wing political violence. And this has enacted, caused so much violence and destruction in cities like Portland or Seattle. I mean, I can go on and on, but it's, the Soros money is just one part of the component. It's a big part, because really it's prosecutors who choose really to go after criminals or not, criminal suspects or not. And at least in the case of Portland, during the riots of 2020, there were a whole list of riot-related crimes, felonies, that were decriminalized as an official policy under the leftist prosecutor that came in, Mike Schmidt, who still is in office today.
Yeah. Andy, appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
All right. Now, maybe you're sitting there wondering, I'm not sure if I want to buy the Anti-Communist Manifesto at jessekellybook.com. I don't know anything about it yet. Well, you want to know something? Do you want to hear some reviews and a little light in the mood? That's coming up next. Now, before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to our dogs. Yesterday, we took Fred on a walk, but Fred is a little bit out of shape, I will admit. And he was a little gassed the rest of the day. So Fred just lay there whimpering all day long. Now, we need to get Fred in shape, but the whole family doted on the stupid dog all day long. Why do dogs do that to us? How do they do that to us? I don't know. But I want him to live a long time, I know that. I actually found myself one day thanking him for how much he loves my family. Isn't that pathetic? But that's why we give him Rough Greens, because I want Fred around a very long time. Rough Greens is a natural supplement. Natural. You pour it on your dog's food. It's delicious. They love it. Your dog doesn't get any nutrition from his food. It's all dead. Dog food's dead. But when I give him Rough Greens, I'm giving him life, vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega oils. He doesn't have digestive problems anymore. They can't get Fred in shape, Rough Greens, but they can make him healthy and he'll be around in the longer, healthier life. Free jumpstart trial bags at roughgreens.com/Jesse. Go get you one, all right? Or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back. I know what you're thinking. That for this light in the mood, you just want to focus on me. And look, this is why we get along. I was thinking the exact same thing. As you know, tomorrow, it's not a big day. I don't like to undersell things. Probably a day that will change the world, at least the West, but it's a day that will change the world because it's the day the Anti-Communist Manifesto comes out. You want to learn about the history of all these different despicable groups out there now, the LGBTQ and the Black Lives Matter, the real communist history of all of it, how we fight back against them, maybe laugh once or twice? Buy the Anti-Communist Manifesto, and maybe you're thinking, Jesse, I don't know anything about it. I'm going to wait. Well, here's a couple reviews right here, right on the back of the book. A literary tour de force, a magnum opus for the ages. And this one says, the most important book of this or any generation. Wow. With reviews like that, how can you not go to jessekellybook.com and get yours today? I'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, everybody. It's Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about health and wellness, from skincare and serums to meditation and brain health. We've got you covered. And most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/body and soul. That's KATIECOURIC.com/body and soul. I promise you'll be happier and healthier if you do.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bozzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like David Duchovny, Jeff Goldblum, and Kristen Wiig.
We're doing all the dessert.
We'll just skip right to it.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bozzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.